from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Now, it's Gabe time. Gabe Kuhn.
Gabe Kuhn was one of the great little trivial nuggets in all of football bios. His grandfather was the inventor of the easy bake oven.
Like a boss, the best lineman on the radio. Well, the only lineman on the radio. It's Gabe time.
Game time. We're ready.
The Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Off and rolling midweek Wednesday, May 29, 2024 is the date. It's time for the Gabe Kuhn Show. I am your host, former Memphis Tiger offensive lineman Gabe Kuhn on X at G_Kuhn71. I'm alongside, as always, the executive producer of the Gabe Kuhn Show. That would be Connor Dunning on X at C Dunning99. Connor, what's the word, brother?
What's
up,
man?
How's it going? How's it going? Also, we have a special guest every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, job shadowing from the Memphis football program. How about this? We got Colby Cox. Long snapper. In that specialist room, Connor, you know those specialist rooms are a little wild.
How would I know
those
that?
Those guys, I used to room with some specialists back in the day.
How would I know that?
I don't know, man. I don't know. They get down. Well, they don't have to practice as hard. So usually, like, during
the
week,
the
they enjoy themselves. Yes, exactly. They enjoy themselves a little bit more than old linemen get to during the week. But Colby Cox will be in here Monday, Wednesday, Fridays for the foreseeable future. That'll be fun. Now, we have 3 hours of talk on the way, courtesy of 92.9 FM, ESPN, and yours truly. We're going to open as we do normally on a Wednesday with overreaction and not an overreaction. And I can tell you where we're going to start in that segment. And it has to do with a guy by the name of David Jones. You know, the guy who scored 22 points per game last year, who was... all conference, first team. We were wondering what he was going to do with his NBA draft decision after participating in the NBA combine and honestly having some struggles. But he's ultimately decided, according to Jonathan Givony of ESPN, that he is going to move on and go to the NBA draft, and he will not be returning to the University of Memphis. It's definitely a surprise, but we will talk through that and what it means for this Tigers team heading into next season. We also have the Western Conference Finals to discuss as the Timberwolves stave off elimination 105-100. Karl Anthony Towns looked better. Anthony Edwards looked better. It felt like the Mavs were missing a piece because they were. Derek Lively was out for Game 4, but he will get back for Game 5 as they transition the series back to Minnesota. But we'll see how it all shakes out. We'll talk about that as well. But with the David Jones news, we will bring on Parth Upadhyay at the bottom half of this hour. Of course, he works for the Daily Memphian. He's the Tiger basketball beat reporter for them. We'll talk about the David Jones departure and what this is going to mean for the team from somebody who's been following along this entire time. So Parth will join at 4:30. But outside of that, we are loaded. We're absolutely loaded with guests. 5 o'clock, David Cobb, per normal, every Monday, Wednesday, Friday from CBS Sports, covering college basketball and college football. 5:30, we'll have our Showboats guest of the week. This week, we have a specialist. We have their kicker, Matt Coughlin, formerly of Michigan State, did a good job there. But he's been a good kicker so far this year. I know that the Showboats have struggled very mightily. Only one win on the season this year. But Matt has done a good job booting the ball. There's no doubt about that. And then 6 o'clock, to start off our final hour of the show, we bring back a guy that was formerly at the University of Memphis, Mike Norvell, head coach of the Florida State Seminole football program. He will join and we'll talk about the game this year. I'm curious what he has to say about that matchup in Tallahassee. And then we'll also talk about, you know, recruiting and everything else, the new age of college football and where this whole thing is headed. But he'll join at 6 o'clock before we hop into the Blitz at 6:30. Then, of course, we'll wrap up the show at about 6:50 with the Rewind. Now, real quick, before we get into overreaction, not an overreaction, you know the whole Caitlin Clark needs to learn how to play and understand the WNBA. I think she's already figured it out for the most part. She's going to have some tough games, and she's going to be played with very physically, as opposed to what she was dealing with at Iowa. But did you see her game last night there, Connor?
I did.
30 points, 6 assists, 5 rebounds, 3 steals, 3 blocks.
Pretty good.
Fourth player in WNBA history and first rookie to reach those numbers in a single game. Fastest rookie in WNBA history to record 100 points and 50 assists. And then I got a kick out of the fact it just sort of shows the target she has on her back. Did you see the clip that was going viral last night of Sparks guard Ari McDonald? She's at the free throw line. She got fouled, and she takes one of her 2 free throws and then turns around. She was so locked into guarding Caitlin Clark that after her first free throw that she made, she turned around and went to go try to pick up Caitlin Clark full court before taking her second free throw.
I honestly kind of love that.
Yeah.
So locked in on the defensive end that you don't even care about offense.
That's,
I'm good.
That's glue guy, glue gal.
That's glue gal mentality
right
there. That's
glue gal mentality right there.
Absolutely.
But at the same time, it does highlight, damn, like, they are taking
She's
the Caitlin
threat.
Clark assignment very, very seriously. And the struggles that she had, I think that sort of, you could point to that as part of the reason. They want to play physical with her, and they really want to bother her.
Right.
So before she even gets done with her second free throw, turned around and tried
just
to
get those turnovers down. But some of the turnovers come from her teammates just dropping passes, too.
I was noticing that, hitting
them in the hands.
But she only had two turnovers last night.
I thought she had 7.
She ended up with 7?
I think she had 7 last night.
I saw 2 going into the fourth quarter. She had 5 in the fourth quarter?
I think she may have had 7
turnovers. Good God. Well, I'm way off. We need to figure this out. She had 7?
Maybe. I may have misread.
I don't know. I thought she had 2 or 3.
Nah, she had 7.
Oh, she had 7.
But,
so that fourth quarter was a blow-up. They ended up losing.
She had 3 steals and 3 blocks. So,
are you saying she evened out?
She kind of evened out.
I don't know. I don't know.
Also 5 fouls. But she was +4.
She was. They were -10 when she was off the floor. I did see that stat.
That is true.
All right.
Hey, they got one win. They finally got one.
They got one win. What are they, 1-6?
1-7.
1-7? Yeah. There we go. But let's go ahead on that note. Let's hop into what we normally hop into every single Wednesday, overreaction, not an overreaction.
Now, it's overreaction or not an overreaction.
We are the Wild and Crazy Guys.
That's crazy.
Chill, homie.
On the Gabe Cujo from 92.9.
All right, Gabe, from Jonathan Gavoni, about an hour ago, Tiger basketball team will be without David Jones in his 2024-25 season as he keeps his name in the NBA draft. There certainly comes at a surprise following his NBA combine where he struggled and did not measure well. So, this leaves this team incomplete. Overreaction, not an overreaction.
Okay, there's nuance here, but I'm going to say overreaction. I don't think this team's incomplete by any stretch of the imagination. They have everything they need. And like, you look at a couple of guys on ball in that backcourt. They can play some defense. P.J. Haggerty and Tyrese Hunter, I think they can be in that starting lineup. Colby Rogers as the bigger, you know, wing who can shoot the 3 ball to sort of replace David Jones and what he probably would have played. He's not going to, replace that 21 points or 22 points worth of production, but he can definitely shoot around 40% from 3. Then you'll have Nick Jourdain and Dane Danger or Musa Cisse or whoever rounding out that team in the front court. I think that this team is still complete, but I think that the ceiling is definitely lowered because you're not going to have that scoring punch from David Jones. You got to find it from elsewhere. But P.J. Haggerty, we saw last year in his first year at Tulsa, he's going to be a sophomore going into this year at Memphis. He scored 21 points per game. He can figure that out. Tyrese Hunter, I think taking a step down from Texas to Memphis could definitely be, you know, 15 to 20 point per game scorer if he really puts his mind to it. I think they still have a scoring punch. They're just going to be missing a little bit with David Jones. I still think when you look at the rest of this conference and how bad it is, Connor, this is a tournament team, a team that could potentially win the American Athletic Conference, but they're just not going to, once they get into the NCAA tournament or get themselves to that level, I don't know if they're going to have that same sort of second weekend possibility that was on the table if David Jones was going to return to the University of Memphis. So ultimately, I think this team is fine because I thought they built even without they built to potentially sustain themselves without David Jones. And I know a lot of people thought the opposite of that when they saw how this team was being recruited, but I always felt as if they were building themselves to be fine without him. Now, on to David Jones. This decision, what do we make of it? I don't know. I don't know if it's the best decision for him. Obviously, he thinks it is. Maybe he did his final workout today, and he's heard that he's going to get a two-way deal, and that's all he really wanted to ultimately get to the NBA. But I still don't know if he's going to get that two-way deal. I think that there's definitely some real questions about his role within an NBA system. He's got to have more energy on the defensive end. He's got to want to defend a whole lot more. He's got to get those turnovers down when he's on ball. And he's not just going to be this guy who's going to be a shot chucker like he was at the University of Memphis at the NBA level. So I'm not going to tell him, obviously, the best decision for him. But I think that this decision may be a little bit foolish on the surface for a lot of people that are watching and following along. Because he was 6'3 and a half. He translates as a three in the NBA as a small forward. And I just don't know if that size and his skill set is going to be perfect as soon as he gets into an NBA or G League system.
Yeah, you know, I think, first off, I agree with your point. I don't think this makes this Memphis Tigers team incomplete by any means. We've been discussing David Jones as he would be the cherry on top of a pretty good offseason that they've had so far. I do think, though, you've hit the nail on the head where you have to, you know, unfortunately, you have to kind of adjust your expectations for what the ceiling of this team could look like. Because when you have David Jones on your roster, when you have a potential All-American, potential, you know, National Player of the Year, that scoring punch from David Jones. Like, you're losing 21 points a game, 7 rebounds a game, and a 38% shooter from three. That is not easy to replicate in college basketball. So it's going to certainly fill or leave a hole on that Memphis Tigers roster. But I think that Penny and his staff this offseason have done a good job of finding guys that fit their system, fit their style of play. And you're hoping that, you know, the committee can fill the hole of David Jones. So that's the hope there. So I don't think it leaves them incomplete, but you do need to adjust your expectations for where you think this team can go next year. I think a fair expectation for this team is still you absolutely have to be a tournament team. Yes. You've got the talent, especially in a weaker conference, very much like the football team. You need to win that conference next year.
Yeah.
Really no excuse not to, especially with the roster that you've built. Now, to the David Jones side of it, it's surprising. I find it really surprising that he's going or staying in the NBA draft. I thought it was 50-50 coming out of the season with the Tigers, and then after the combine, I was like, oh, I feel like it's 70-30, 80-20 that he's going to go back to Memphis, just because you said his measurements were pretty poor. You know, his in-game his scrimmage numbers were not very good. He struggled turning the ball over, and I do think that he's got some work to do on the defensive end of the basketball. He certainly can score, and maybe, you know, during one of these workouts or at the combine, somebody told him, hey, man, we're going to take a flyer on you. We're going to give you a two-way. We're going to give you a late second-round pick. Maybe he saw where Bronny's getting projected. He said, screw it, Bronny's going to be a top 20 guy. That means I can get drafted, too. So I don't know. You know, I wish him the best. I'm not sure I 100% understand why he's staying in the draft, but at the end of the day, he gave a good year to the Memphis Tigers to be remembered fondly, and I wish him the best in the NBA, and I hope he can find a spot. Even though I may have doubts about his fit on an NBA roster or in a system, I still wish him the best, and maybe he'll figure it out. We did get reports earlier this offseason that he did, you know, just want to play pro basketball. That was his goal.
Right.
So
these guys' goal.
And to be honest, with this decision, I hope he got a promise. I hope he was told that he's either going to get a two-way or get drafted late in the second round. Because if he went into or stayed in this draft without being told that, man, I'm not sure I agree with
that
decision.
It'd be a little bit foolish. Right. I understand, because he's going to make more money. Even if he's a two-way guy, he'll make more money probably at the University of Memphis.
Probably
would have made
so.
More money here at the University
Definitely.
Of Memphis. But you know, when it comes to this team, I think you just need to adjust those expectations. But I still think they're going to be fine. I view this team going into next season like I did the team 2 years ago, more so than the team last year. And obviously hindsight 2020 on last year's team. But going into that year, we were very, very hyped up. And obviously,
we were talking Sweet 16.
Over promise, under deliver.
I mean, dude,
I thought two years ago. I thought 2 years ago with Kendrick Davis and DeAndre, you sort of looked at this team as, hey, we'll see, I don't know. But they under-promised and over-delivered. I think this team has more of an ability to do that because they focused on the defensive end. They have a little bit of depth at some key key places. They have three separate guys who can handle the ball. P.J. Haggerty can be your pseudo Kendrick Davis as your main lifeline scorer, you know, absolute dog out there. He can get steals, turn defense into offense. I feel a lot more like I did 2 years ago about this team than I did about the team last year.
Absolutely, and I think one thing that the Tigers' offense fell into last year is that they just didn't necessarily have a great playmaker, and I think this year they may have a few more options in the playmaking, you know, realm. And I think David Jones, one of the reasons his turnovers were so high is that he was having to create so much on the offensive end for the Tigers. Yep. So even though you're losing 21 points, I would absolutely 10 out of 10 rather have David Jones sure. on this roster than not have him. But I do think that the roster that they've built, who the players that they have brought in, I think that they'll be able to play together, and you hope that they can fill that hole of David Jones. It's just, it's disappointing, it's a little surprising, but at the end of the day, I wish him the best. It's just, I really hope he got a promise, because if he didn't, it's a curious decision.
I would imagine he did, because when he talked to Drew Hill for the Daily Memphian a couple of weeks ago, he said, if I have a promise of a two-way deal, I'm still going to go,
right?
Because this is the opportunity I need to capitalize on right now. And I do understand, here's the one thing I will understand about this decision. I don't think his stock was going to get that much higher even if he came back for a year, because he was going to be off ball a whole lot more. The point production would probably go down because you have a lot more guys who are going to handle the ball and have to get him involved instead of the other way around. He got himself involved last year and created for himself. He'd probably have less opportunities to do that if he came back to the University of Memphis. And also, I think the three-point shooting is something, like, I'm not sure he's going to be able to replicate.
Sell high?
If he was going to come back, I don't know if he can replicate 38 to 40%, because he never shot like, he shot 29% at St. John's, less than that when he was at DePaul. So, like, I think the three-point shooting is definitely the thing I would point to, is if he came back, I don't know if he'd be able to replicate those.
That tracks. It does feel like if he came back to the University of Memphis that he would have been able to maybe jump into that second round. Next year's draft is a much more talented one, but it really would have been 20, to
24
your point,
years old.
Yeah, it really
less production. It's, probably
could you have raised your talent level on the defensive end enough to offset another year of age? And I'm not, you
right.
know, he probably had to weigh those options. And again, he said if he got that two-way deal, he was going to stay in. So this decision, my theory would be that he got told, hey, you're going to be a two-way or second-round draft, most likely two-way.
Because he said it wasn't about money. It was
right.
about the opportunity.
Right. Which,
so
hey,
if the opportunity's on the table for him, hey, I don't blame him for
chase
for
that dream,
in.
Man. Chase that dream.
I
get it.
The measurements and everything from the NBA Combine, man, I think the confidence level for everybody in this market, every Tiger fan, was sky high. And then to see this news today was kind of a gut punch.
It's
no doubt a gut punch.
I think it's okay to say when those measurements came out, you're kind of like, yes! Like, there's
yeah,
a
right,
small part of you
right.
was like, all
I'm
right.
not praying
like,
on the guy's downfall
no, exactly,
by any stretch of the imagination, but you
like,
want him to be,
all right.
It's almost
Point
a positive.
Tigers.
It's almost a positive that you want him back on
yeah.
campus so much, because you know he can make this team that much better.
Yes, now, to be fair to David Jones, it's stupid that they measure these guys outside of shoes. So,
yeah,
to
he's 6'5 with shoes on.
Yeah, 6'5 with shoes. Hey, man, I'm 6. When I put boots on, I'm 6 feet tall, so that's all that matters, man.
Yeah, but, I mean, good for him if he has an offer on the table and he thinks that he can take advantage of it. But David Jones will not be a Tiger heading into next year. Again, I think that this team is still going to be relatively complete, but you have to re-sort of imagine and decipher, talk through where you think their ceiling is at, because their ceiling is definitely lower with David Jones not coming.
I will say, you know, even though I don't think the team's incomplete, I do think, though, it's going to be interesting to see who becomes that number one guy now. Like, who's going to be the head of it? Because David Jones was going to be your clear number one guy.
Yeah,
your
PJ
offense
Haggerty
runs
is
through
minus
him.
300
so
to be
is
that
it
guy.
Now PJ Haggerty? Yeah, he seems like the obvious choice.
Right.
It's just, you know. It's a bit disappointing.
No doubt about it. But good luck to David Jones
yes.
on the next step, man. That's definitely a tremendous step forward for him, and wish the best.
Yep. T-Wolves staved off elimination last night, winning 105-100. Regardless, this series is still over. Overreaction, not an overreaction.
You know my favorite. This is like the kiss of death,
the kiss
right?
of death.
Yeah, but I'm going to say not an overreaction. No one's coming back from down 3-0, right, Connor? Like, I'm sorry.
Probably not.
They're just not coming back. I don't see it happening. And I think really what was very helpful for the Timberwolves last night. Derek Lively not being in the game actually affected it pretty substantially, because you saw Karl Anthony Towns have a substantially better game. Rudy Gobert was very, very good, 13 and 10 last night, 4 for 5 from the field. Karl Anthony Towns, I already mentioned, though, but 25 points, 9 for 13 from the field, 4 for 5 from 3. I think Derek Lively could have affected some of those numbers. Then Anthony Edwards actually had a really, really tremendous game.
He was excellent.
His turnovers were a little bit high. He had about 6, but 29, 10, and 9. Luka was still his same tremendous self, although from the field he was a little bit wonky, 7 for 21, but he still had a triple-double, 28, 15, and 10, and only 3 turnovers. But I still think this Mavericks team is going to get over top before this is all said and done. It's going to transition back to Minnesota, then back to Dallas. I think that they could get it done in Game 6. I don't know about Game 5 being in Minnesota, them really having their backs up against the wall again, but I still think this series is going to go the Mavs' way in 6 at the very most.
Yeah, listen, it's never happened before. A team's never come back from 3-0. Now, you could think of it in a way, though, with Minnesota sports. If anybody's going to do it and exercise the demons of Minnesota sports history, the Timberwolves coming back from 3-0 would be a pretty good way to do it. So if any team's going to do it, it feels like the Timberwolves are kind of a good candidate for it, kind of have that 2004 Red Sox vibe to it, coming back, breaking a curse, if you will. But that being said, yeah, I don't expect them to come back and win the series. I do think, though, if Karl Anthony Towns and Anthony Edwards play the way that they did last night, they can make this thing competitive. They can maybe stretch it to 6 or 7. But at the end of the day, I think we got to be honest about it. Karl Anthony Towns, even though he had 25 points in a much better game, he took better shots. Still, some crazy fouls, some crazy turnovers. And there was a moment late in that game where it did feel like the Dallas Mavericks might win it again in the fourth quarter. And then Karl Anthony Towns, to his credit, hit 2 big threes and was able to kind of get the game back under control. But he also put them in that position with a couple of really just terrible fouls, man. It's like they still got that dummy in them a little bit. And that's why it just rears its head in the worst possible moments. But, you know, with Derek Lively, if he can come back, I do think that's going to have a big impact on the series, because the Mavericks just weren't able to play the game the same way that they have been through the first three games. And Kyrie Irving, he didn't shoot great from the field. Luka, even though he finished with 28 points, didn't shoot great from the field. Did you have the vibe that the Mavericks were kind of like, if we don't win this one, it's not the biggest deal in the world?
That's human nature, right? That's absolutely human nature.
Maxi Kleber was not great.
Well, that's the thing I was about to mention. Like, Derek Lively out of the game, you think, okay, maybe Maxi Kleber and Dwight Powell can combine for that level of production. No, they can't.
No.
They have no choice. Derek Lively really is that guy. Yeah. That's what last night's game showed me, is not having that punch off of the bench, scoring, blocking shots, playing defense on those really good bigs from Minnesota. Definitely wore on them as the game went along. Maxi Kleber and Dwight Powell don't have it as compared to him. So he returns in Game 5. And he's not concussed like I sort of thought he was after that.
He's not concussed.
I think that they can win in Game 5, but I think this series may get to 6 and then the Mavs will win it. But I just, no one's come back from 3-0, and I don't think that the Timberwolves are going to be the first. Although you seem to think that Minnesota team is going to get it done.
It's poetry of sports, man. If any team's going to do it, it'd be this dumb Timberwolves team to be able to do it. But I don't expect it to whatsoever. I do think, though, somebody that deserves a ton of credit, he only scored 2 points last night, but he was very good for the Timberwolves. Kyle Anderson. Yeah. Kyle Anderson's had a really good series, especially on the defensive end of the basketball.
That's what's so nice about having Kyle Anderson. We saw it in a Grizzlies uniform. Even like, you don't worry about him scoring.
He's
a glue
guy.
You don't need him to score. But throw him on anybody from a 3 through a 5, and he can play some good defense on them and bother them, try to get some steals, some knockaways, some things like that.
Well, with the speaking of Derek Lively and Kyle Anderson, like, Derek Lively not being in the game, they were able to throw two bodies at Kyrie and Luka more frequently because they didn't have that lob threat of Derek Lively always being in there, because you're not going to see Maxi Kleber take off from the elbow.
And Daniel Gafford's not going to play 48 minutes.
Right, and Daniel Gafford can't play 48 minutes. And, you know, Derek Jones, he had an okay game. But at the end of the day, you know, P.J. Washington, he also kind of struggled. And I will say that the Timberwolves did well. They caught him a few times on the defensive end, and every single time, like, it's a weird cat game because he played better and he deserves credit, but he also had some really bad moments. But I think one thing he did well in Game 4 that he struggled with Game 1 through 3 is that we were talking about his drives. They were just kind of nonsensical. He just kind of just barrel towards the basket and throw it up. Every single time somebody got switched on to him that was smaller, he took it to the basket every single time. So he was just, he had better decision making on the offense.
Even more, like, his defense I'm breaking down Karl Anthony Towns' game, though, more than anything, even when he has his best offensive outputs, he still plays like a dummy.
Yeah.
He had a 63-point game where they lost earlier this season. Like, you know what I mean? As long as the shots are dropping
well,
for him.
Well, didn't he get benched, too?
Yeah, I think he got benched late in that game, then they brought him back. He was just being ridiculous. Yeah, I think he wanted to get to 70 points, but, like, even when he is on, he still has some really dumb plays out there, and that's why people sort of go after him at times. But as long as the shots are dropping for him, he gives the Timberwolves a chance to win. Right, he'll still have those dumbass plays. So you just know he will.
I mean, six but fouls and four in. Turnovers. He was just
it's
there were some
in.
Moments where you're just like, where are you right
it's
now?
It's built in, but if he's 4 for 5 from three, they can go win a game.
Sure, but when he hit two huge threes at
the
end of the game,
the difference is if you combine his consistent dumbass play with a 4 for 16 night, you're screwed. You're not going to win that game. If you combine that with a 6 for 18 night, 0 for 8 from three, you're going to lose a ball game. He's one of those. He is sort of the player for me, though, for the Timberwolves, where good night versus bad, he sways their outcome.
Well, that's the thing.
All the time.
Do you trust him to have, if for them to come back and win this series, the
Do
first
I trust
team
him to be
ever,
consistent like he
would
was last
have
night?
To be, well, he wouldn't just have to be last night. He'd have to be better than last night,
yeah.
If we're being honest, because Derek Lively will be back, and yeah. Kyrie and Luka aren't going to play poorly like that anymore. And if you really want to break it down, to simplify it, you know, we talk about basketball as a simple sport. Luka, Kyrie, Kat, Anthony Edwards. Who has more points?
Yes.
That team's going to win. So
yeah.
Far, three of the games, the Mavericks, they've won. The one game where Anthony Edwards and Karl Anthony Towns outscored Kyrie and Luka, guess what? They won.
Yeah.
It's probably that simple.
I do also think, I want to bring this up real quick before we get to Parth and talk about David Jones and everything else. With Karl Anthony Towns, what do you think his future is going to hold in Minnesota? Because Rudy Gobert is going to go into this offseason extension eligible. And I wonder, like, just based on the way they seem to like him in Minnesota, I wonder if they give him a big extension.
Oh,
and then,
Rudy?
Well, yeah, where would that leave Karl Anthony Towns?
A really good trade asset?
Yes. But I don't know. I mean, that's still a lot of money that you're paying. If you're trading for Karl Anthony Towns, that's a hell of a contract.
Somebody would trade for
him. I'm sure they would. I'm sure they would. But it's just like...
Not the Grizzlies. Everybody relax.
You have to do the risk-reward of the value of his contract versus what he's actually going to give you in the face of winning.
Yes. I think Karl Anthony Towns, his true spot would be being a third guy.
Yeah.
You know, that he needs to be the third guy on a team. Or, you know, he can't be, I think, one of your top two for you to win a championship. But I think he could be maybe your third guy. So somebody out there will go and grab him.
But we've had the rumors a long time of Karl Anthony Towns maybe making his way out of Minnesota. But I wonder if this offseason will be like the start of the end.
Could I interest? I mean, Jimmy, it's been rumored that he might go back to Philly. Could Jimmy find his way back to Minnesota? Does Towns make sense?
Hasn't
with the Heat?
Jimmy talked like mad trash on being in Minnesota?
But it was two Towns.
I know.
It was two Karl Anthony Towns.
Yeah, I know. I guess. But I want to see how this all plays out for them once their season ends, because I do think their season
maybe
is
Mikal
end.
Bridges?
Yeah. We'll see. Well, it depends on the dumbass Nets if they actually want to take.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one. Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
A bunch of first-round picks, which they should have.
They have to. They cannot. He cannot play for them next year. Cannot. It'd be malpractice.
I just never see any like reports where they're saying, oh, yeah, we're actually listening to offers.
It just happened.
Really?
Like a few weeks ago. They were like, maybe.
Really, it took you this long to give us a maybe. Great. Now, the NBA playoffs have tipped off, but it's not too late to get it on the action with FanDuel, because right now new customers get $150 in bonus bets with any winning $5 bet. That's $150 to use on same-game parlays, live bets, championship futures, and so much more. There's no better place to bet all the playoff action than America's number one sportsbook. Just go to FanDuel.com/GabeK. That's G-A-B-E-K. Again, G-A-B-E-K to get started. FanDuel is an official sports betting partner of the NBA and 92.9 ESPN. You must be 21 plus and present in Tennessee. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets, which expire just 7 days after receipt. And if you have that gambling problem, don't hesitate to reach out to the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. Now, David Jones is off to the NBA, and we're going to feel the reverberations here in Memphis going into next season. So we bring in Parth Upadhyay from the Daily Memphian to talk through that next.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now back to the Gabe Kuhn Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
So full disclosure, we were sitting there about an hour before the show talking about what we're going to talk about today, and the David Jones news comes down from Jonathan Givony that he's going to stay in the NBA draft. He will not be coming back to the University of Memphis. I know a lot of Memphis fans were hoping that would be the case, but at that point, I hit up Parth Upadhyay, who just got back to town. He is the Daily Memphian Tigers basketball beat reporter for them. He is on X at PUpadhyay_. But I hit him up so we could talk about this. Parth, what's your immediate reaction, brother, to David Jones staying in the NBA draft?
Man, I know a lot of people are shocked. Like, oh, where did this come from? How is this happening? What's going on? The vibe I got from people close to him and people I'd spoken to throughout this process was it was always a coin flip, right?
Right.
Now, obviously, when he went to the combine and didn't do so right, it seemed like, you know, things were definitely at least trending in the direction of him coming back to Memphis. But, you know, something must have happened between that point and now, whether it be a verbal guarantee from a team that they're going to grab him on a two-way or a late second round or whatever it may be. To kind of sway him in this direction.
Now, do you think it's late second round or more of a two-way undrafted free agent situation? Just being honest about the board and the way it'll look.
You got to, I mean, the obvious answer there is you got to think it's a, you know, it's a two-way. It's not a second round because he's just not on a lot of mock drafts. I haven't seen him on any mock.
None.
Great college player, but I don't, you know.
Right.
Obviously, you know, the way you measured in at 6'3.5", Memphis had him at 6'6".
Yeah.
And just his performance overall in the two scrimmages didn't do much to move that needle.
So when we project him to the NBA, like this is something we have all struggled with throughout the entire process, because you want to see more energy and effort given on the defensive end, that type of thing. Like, what do you think about his projection to the NBA at this point? Like, if he gets that two-way, what type of role will he be playing? 6'3.5" without shoes, and I know it'll be 6'5" with shoes. It's weird that we measure people without shoes, but hey, it is what it is. But he projects as a three, and he's on the shorter side. He's on the smaller side to be a small forward. And then he already has a few drawbacks on the defensive side of the ball, and I think that would definitely accentuate it, the size.
Yeah, no doubt. This is a guy that obviously is a little bit ball dominant.
Yeah.
Doesn't play great off-ball defense. Those things just tend to, you know, not fly in the NBA.
Right.
And you couple that, like you just said, with some of the measurables that we saw at the combine, it doesn't look like there's a smooth, super smooth path to an NBA role. But, you know, he plays well above his height. We saw him grab board after board last season.
Which is impressive. When he measured in at 6'3.5", that was my first...
Damn, man, he had
double-digit boards in certain games?
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, he was rebounding like a power forward in college.
Yeah.
So he does have that motor. He plays tough. If last season's sample size of shooting can be something that can be consistent, then that's promising as well. So there are tools there that he has, right? It's not like he has none.
Of course. He wouldn't have scored 22 points per game
last year. The dude's a bucket. Yeah.
Yes, he can go get buckets. Now, this is something I was talking through with Connor in the first segment, is maybe this year is probably sort of the highest type of you know, his stock's the highest it would be in NBA circles, right? Because if he gets a year older at the age 24, I think if he came back to Memphis,
he didn't match that production, right?
Yeah, he'd be, but he probably, like, if I'm just reading through it, if he came back to Memphis, that production probably would have been a little bit lowered because you have a lot of more guys that are on ball. He was the secondary creator for that team last year.
Correct.
Behind Javon Quinterly, because no one else could really take on that role. But now you have Tyrese Hunter and PJ Haggerty and Barack Okogie off the bench.
Yep.
He would be more off ball trying to get his points than he was last year, where he's on ball, taking it at the rim, trying to score at will at times. I don't think the production would have been the exact same, but he could have worked on the other things, the other parts of his game. But then it's like, you know, risk reward coming back, being 24, can you make up that ground defensively and energy wise to make up for another year? Being another year older.
Yeah, and I think, you know, if he had come back, that would have been exactly the outlook. Like, not just numbers, not just tangible production that you see on paper, but, you know, playing defense, not taking plays off, and all of this that he does on the court leading to wins and leading to a deep tournament run for the Tigers, right. I think that would have turned heads more than anything else.
Yeah. Now, final thing on David Jones before we get to the team without David Jones, because I think that's that's what people really want to know about at this particular point. But for David Jones going forward, like, I just want you to evaluate this decision from where you're sitting right this second. How do you think this is going to work long term for David Jones?
Yeah, I mean, it goes without saying. We talked off air as
sure.
well. This is not a decision I would have made.
Right. But it's of course his decision to make. We get that.
Absolutely. And Gabe, I'm sure you've had the same conversations that I've had with people just around the program and in the know about some of the neighborhood of numbers, right, that was being talked about.
More money here.
Way more money. Astronomically more money here in NIL at Memphis than he's going to get on a two-way. So I think just looking at it from, you know, a business perspective, it would have made a lot more sense to be back in a Tigers jersey if you're David Jones. But, you know, sometimes you're done with it. You know, you're done with school. You're done with playing college basketball. You want
to chase
that dream.
It's a commitment to come back for another year.
No doubt.
For sure.
No doubt. So,
And also, like, last year, here's another thing I was thinking about. Like, maybe the heartache and, like, the you know, how tough getting through last year was swayed his decision a tad bit. I don't think that Penny and the staff or anybody on that team wants it to go like it did a year ago.
But there is a sense of uncertainty.
There is that possibility there, and I don't know. I bet last year was probably very tough on him, even though he did have a good year.
Yeah, I'm sure it was. I mean, just talking to him at the end of the season at press conferences and in post-game settings and whatever, it seemed to weigh on him, as it did with everybody else on that team. So I think that's probably a factor. Just the fact that, you know, although I'm sure he's been in touch with the guys that are on the team, whether it be PJ Haggerty or Dane, Jacoby Rogers, like, he has not, you know, he's been in Frisco, right? He's been in Frisco, Texas, working out, preparing for the draft, so he hasn't been integrally, you know, involved with the guys that are coming in, so that's a factor, too. Probably several things, but I think more than anything else, just wanting to, you know, for better or for worse, roll that dice and take that chance on himself, bet on himself, if you will.
Yeah, 100%. And even if it doesn't work out at the NBA level, there's plenty of professional leagues he can fall back on.
That guy's getting paid to hoop.
And he will be hooping for a long time. That's my sneaking suspicion. Now, talking with Parth Upadhyay, he is the Tigers basketball beat reporter for the Daily Memphian. He's on X at @PUpadhyay_. Now, this team without David Jones, we had this conversation off the top, and obviously we're going to get into some semantics here. And we know when you get into, you know, trying to figure out wording, people can get a little bit confused. But we talked about it. This team is less complete without David Jones. And I don't know if I agree with that necessarily, but I do agree with the fact that the ceiling is substantially lower for this team without David Jones. And I think this team has the pieces that it needs.
Yep.
But the scoring punch and that scoring production is definitely going to go down without David Jones, to say the least.
Yeah, I guess, you know, to define needs, right? Needs to do what? Needs to make the tournament? I think there's plenty of talent with the nine guys they have
to make the tournament.
But, you know, to be pushing for a run, right? To catch a stride in a way where you're competing for a top five, top six seed come March and really, you know, get past that wall, get to the second weekend for the first time since 2009. I think David Jones was absolutely critical in that mission.
Yes, but I, like, when you look at this team still, backcourt, I think, if you talk P.J. Haggerty, Tyrese Hunter, Colby Rogers, I think that's pretty solid.
Three-guard lineup.
And, you have that three-point shooting with Colby Rogers that you feel comfortable with. Maybe P.J. Haggerty can get some things done. Tyrese Hunter as well. And then, like, Nick Jordan and Dane Danger, that's a perfectly fine starting lineup. And then off the bench, Musa, Tyreek Smith is an energy guy. Barack Okoji is a secondary ball handler. You still have some pieces that – I think leave me in this spot where I feel almost like I did 2 years ago with the Kendrick Davis, DeAndre Williams, team. I feel like that, and I feel way less positive than I did a year ago heading into the season. But we saw that those two results were completely different 2 years ago when you didn't feel as positive about the team. They accomplished every goal, almost overachieved. Last year, when you felt awesome about where they were at and the talent they had, they fell short.
Yeah, I was talking to somebody about this yesterday, just the fact that it's not a one-for-one comparison, but this team more closely resembles the one 2 years ago, like you just said, with, P.J. Haggerty. There's only one Kendrick Davis, right?
Right, but he's the pseudo-Kendrick Davis.
He is in that role. He's the bucket-getter, the ball-dominant guy. And, take your pick of who's going to emerge as the Robin to his Batman. It could be Dane Danger. It could be Tyrese Hunter. Obviously, Colby Rogers shoots 42% from three. So there are candidates to fill that second role. And then you've got role guys who I think are far and away more talented. No offense to the guys we're about to name, but then your Elijah McAdams, then your Keontae Kennedys, and other guys that were on that team 2 years ago.
But they're more talented, I think, on the offensive end. Defensive end, though, like, that's what's been focused on, right? Like, I think they're very comparable in that regard.
No,
I'm where they're going to do the dirty work.
I'm saying these guys are more talented.
Yes,
on both ends.
Okay.
Than the Elijah McAdams, Keontae Kennedys. Obviously, right. Keontae Kennedy emerged as a
DeMario Franklin,
as a three-point monster. Until he punched a wall. But, yes, I think on paper, these guys look superior on both ends of the floor.
Yes, but there definitely has been that focus of, let's get this defense going. Let's fit the scheme a whole lot better. Let's get them on campus earlier. I know I sort
check.
I halfway hated, I guess, on Penny's, suggestion that he was going to get everybody on campus by June 1st. And I guess my thought was, filling out all 13 scholarships and getting them out. That was never going to be a reality. But he's got all nine guys ready to go, all scholarship guys.
Yeah.
June 1st, ready to go.
Exactly. And that's huge, man. Like, I started covering this team before the Kendrick Davis year, so that was 22-23. I know that summer they didn't have this many guys on campus this early. They're meeting
Jalen Young in the damn airport.
No, I'm talking about 2 years ago.
I know, 2 years ago, but then last year they're meeting Jalen Young.
They met Jalen Young at freaking Houston Hobby or whatever. It's wild, man. Javon Quinterly and I think it was David Jones and Jordan Brown committed in June, right? Javon Quinterly and Jaquan Walton in July. And then on top of all that, David Jones got here in September, although he was committed for 2 months. He got here in September because of a visa issue. So you had guys trickling in all the way, literally all the way until the start of classes. So drastically different situation in terms of getting guys on one accord at one place.
And you didn't even mention Naquan Tomlin
in
December.
There you go.
Like, they have everything. Now, when it comes to that, you think he'll use up a couple more of these scholarships by the time we get to semester and season?
Yeah, a couple more for sure. They've got nine filled right now, right? David Jones is supposed to be that 10th guy. I think the most likely scenario is, you take that check, right, that you're going to write David Jones, maybe cut it in half.
Yes.
Not everybody is going to get that kind of bag, but, you see who else is out there. There's guys, as we speak, John Rothstein is tweeting away about guys who are exiting the draft process. So, maybe they can snag one of those guys and kind of fill that alpha role to pair somebody up with P.J. Haggerty, have a 1-2 punch there. And then you'd have three left then. I'm guessing they'll leave one or two open.
Yeah.
And maybe get one guy who's like a developmental piece, right? And I think that makes the most sense. That way you don't have too many mouths to feed. You don't want to have 11, 12, 13 guys who want to see the floor. We saw that last year. It didn't work out.
Well, what can you tell me about this Daniel Vieira Tuck guy? I think that was sort of an interesting thing coming out about that. Is there anything to that? What do you know about that? What can you tell me? Anything? Yeah.
So I can confirm there is mutual interest there. Okay. I was messaging with Daniel.
And where is he from, too, as well?
Yeah, he's from Portugal.
He's from
Portugal. Played at, I believe, a prep academy. Same one that Jalen Young played at.
So in Texas?
Big time over in the Dallas area. Yep. I've got to look at the exact name, but that's the one I'm referring to. He played there a season or two, but is from Portugal. And I think played this past season in Portugal as well. He told me that he'd be on a visit. What he didn't realize was that visit, which was, according to him, was supposed to happen yesterday. That was during a dead period, right? So, very quickly got that sorted out that he will not be.
Does the dead period end?
June 2nd, I believe. That's okay. Sunday. So, not this, or I guess that
so
is.
So, how long
Sunday.
Is this dead period? Days. Just sort of like a few weeks?
I think it's just a couple weeks, yeah. You know, I'll be honest, man. I didn't even realize it was a dead period until it was made clear to me that it was. So.
It's confusing, man. It's just a random couple of weeks worth of dead period. Like, just let's do these visits all the with the transfer portal the way it is, and guys trying to find spots. Why do we even have to have a dead period?
Yeah, you got coaches trying to put bows on rosters. I mean, freaking.
Like, I guess if it was in the coaches' best interest, sure. Right. Where it's like, oh, give them a little bit of time off. But I don't think the coaches really agree with that.
I don't think they want that either. No, they're trying to get this thing wrapped up.
Trying to get it wrapped up so then they can deal with their vacations and everything else a couple of days off here.
Exactly. And you know, Penny and the staff, like, obviously had David Jones opted to return, it'd be a much more relaxed situation where, okay, there's a dead period. It's all good. We're chilling. We've got our 10 of 13. But now with him not in the mix and, you know, them assuming they're going to go, you know, kind of big game hunting again, if you will, like, you want to start hunting now.
Yeah.
His time is ticking. So.
Did you think that this roster, the way it was built while waiting on David Jones' decision, did you think it was built around David Jones, like for David Jones, or do you think it was built to sustain itself even without David Jones? Because I think there's a couple of different schools of thought on that.
I think that, you know, I don't think it's a black and white thing. I think it's a little bit of both.
Okay.
Like, the answer falls somewhere in the middle. But, you know, if we had to kind of pick one direction that, you know, for putting ourselves in the minds of Penny Hardaway, Rick Stansbury, it seems to me at least that this roster was built with the idea that, hey, we're going to get DJ back. Like, he's going to be our centerfold, if you will. He's going to be our starting three or starting four, you know, surrounded by guys like PJ Haggerty, Dane Danger, Nicholas Jourdain, and others to supplement him. It just seems to me that way, because if that wasn't the case, they would have got, you know, another alpha, right? Another bucket getter to go with PJ Haggerty. Because PJ, you know, 15th in the country in scoring, obviously electric, getting downhill and just getting buckets effortlessly at Tulsa. But, man, I think they played I was looking at the schedule earlier, they played two Power 5 opponents, right?
Yeah.
So it's not like they were playing the best of the best. Now, he's going from that to Maui, where you've got UConn, North Carolina.
You got to get used to it quick.
Exactly.
Crash course.
Exactly.
In the out-of-conference.
You know, if you're Penny, if you're Rick, you hope he can make that jump, but you don't want to rely on PJ Haggerty being the face of this team, as good as he may be, right?
Right.
You want to have somebody that can kind of team up with him.
Yeah.
And that could be Dane Danger. That could
and
be
I think
Kobe
at the end
Rogers,
of the day, you just want, like with David Jones, it was like also continuity means a lot.
It means
and now
so
it's
much.
Just it's Nick Jourdain.
It means so much.
It's
and Nick Jourdain's huge as well.
Yeah, it's huge, but that's it.
Room.
That's all you got.
That's it. It's even, I mean, it's worse than last year. Last year you had, you know, obviously Jaden Hardaway and Malcolm Dandridge, and we were looking at that like, what the heck, you know?
Yeah, but maybe, like, maybe looking at PJ Haggerty, you know, looking at obviously Jared Harris coming in. Barack Okoji, maybe next year. And obviously, I don't want to like go way into next year.
Right.
Maybe it could be a little bit better because you have some guys with more eligibility left, but you got to keep them on campus. And then we know how hard that is to do in this day and age.
Right. I think, I mean, obviously, having a smoother season, having a season where you go further in the tournament, less drama, less extracurriculars away from the court, I think that's going to go a long way in getting guys like Barack Okoji and PJ Haggerty and others who have that second, third year to want to come back and be a part of this thing in the future.
All right, now final thing, Andy Borman no longer part of the staff after 2 years. It just continues to show like there's a lot of coaches who have come and gone since about 2018. John Martin, who obviously does the Jason and John show earlier in the day, here right here on 92.9 FM ESPN, he put out a list since 2018, and it kind of is. It's getting long. Sam Mitchell, Mike Millard, Tony Madlock, Cody Toppert, Larry Brown, Rasheed Wallace, Jermaine Johnson, Andy Borman, Frank Haith. I mean, it's a long thing, but what
it's nine guys, right? Nine guys.
What happened with Andy Borman's situation? He was brought in originally as sort of the AAU style recruiting type guy,
the
developmental
director,
type guy, that guy.
Uh-huh.
But he only spent 2 years here. That it surprised me to a certain extent.
Yeah. You know, ever since the season ended, and like I said, I'm sure you've heard similar things, but there was always murmurs and you know, more than speculation, but there was always kind of the idea that Penny would shake up the staff. Like, not only was the roster going to look different, but his coaching staff was going to look dramatically different, is the word.
And usually, that's the safe bet, usually.
Right. I mean, look.
I just went through that list. It's a safe bet.
It's not only a safe bet, but you got a season like the one you had. You know, it's probably time to see what you can tweak and adjust and put around you, right, to have better support and have a better supporting cast. And I'm not saying, you know, Andy Borman was was not that guy to fill that void. He just happened to be kind of, I guess, does that make sense? Like a victim of what happened last season.
Yeah. Okay.
In a sense.
Yeah, but what was his style of, like, from what you heard, what was his role within that staff for the most part? Because I don't know if it was on, it was definitely not, like, on-court coaching, scheming, that type of thing. It was more about the development and the recruiting, right?
That's what it seemed like, just kind of the relationships that he had, especially with being the, you know, New York Renaissance, obviously a AAU team in the Nike YBL circuit. Being the director of that program, having connections with players all over the Northeast.
Right. They brought That's sort of what I saw it as.
Right.
And then, like, you bring in Rick Stansberry, and it's kind of like, maybe it became, he may, obviously you want to shake up the staff, too, after a year like last year, but maybe he came a little bit more expendable with what how well Rick has fit in with Penny being his right-hand man, especially on the recruiting trail.
Exactly. And I think, like, look, you look at the time in which they, it wasn't too long ago, it was 2 years ago, but the time in which they brought Andy Borman in, the portal was relied upon, but it wasn't like it is now. Now it's gone completely, you know, to where, you know, schools like Memphis aren't even really looking at high schoolers. So you look at, you know, how valuable is that guy that is that has all these connections in the high school recruiting world? That's great, but you really don't need that. And plus, with NIL, there's really less of an emphasis on traditional recruiting where you're going, you know, mom and dad's living room and trying to, you know, woo them about how much they're going to develop their son or whatever. Maybe now it's about, you know, What number is that? Numbers on that check, right?
Yeah, what like, say yes. Let's rub those fingers together. How much money are you throwing out there?
There you go.
That's how it is.
There you go.
That's how it is. And I think that Rick and Penny, dude, I think they do a decent job of handling themselves in that realm. I did see, by the way, I saw sidebar. Barack Okoji and Dane Danger on social media watching their Instagram stories, and it looks like sort of maybe their apartment that they're about to settle into. Nice little loft on the riverfront.
Nice view,
buddy.
Man. I saw Colby Rogers. He's got that M bridge.
Buddy,
view.
I was born about 5 or 6 years too early. That's all I can say about athletic days. Good Lord, man. It's tough.
Well, where'd they put you up at? Where were you staying?
I was either on campus carpenter. I stayed at Richardson for a summer semester.
Those got views?
Stayed at South Hall.
What's the view looking like in Carpenter?
No.
No view? No balcony? No. Okay.
Apartment style dorms. Yeah. Two stories, nothing.
Damn,
you can't see anything.
Man. No river. No
and then
river
and
view.
Then I stayed in houses sort of the rest of my career, whether it was over in East Memphis. No views.
Born
I didn't get
wrong,
to see the river.
At the wrong time,
exactly,
right?
Man, it's tough. They have like the nice. They have the nice like wood floors, good finish,
the
brand new
granite countertops. Man, they're living large.
Damn,
man. They're living large.
That's all I could think about.
Good for them.
Yeah. It's a little bit of jealousy. I got to say that. Now let's go ahead. And get you off here. I appreciate it, Parth.
Hey, man, appreciate the time, man. As always.
Yes, that is Parth Upadhyay. He is the Tiger basketball beat reporter for the Daily Memphian. He is on X at @PUpadhyay_. Now, we need to go ahead and transition up out of here, go from hour one to hour two. And hour number two, we're going to lead it off with David Cobb. We're going to get into a little bit more of this David Jones conversation, but we also have some college football, NBA to talk about with him as well. That's next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one. Quartet pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
A little bit of jealousy. I got to say that. Now, let's go ahead and get you off here. I appreciate it, Parth.
Hey, man, appreciate the time, man. As always.
Yes, that is Parth Upadhyay. He is the Tiger basketball beat reporter for the Daily Memphian. He is on X at @PUpadhyay_. Now, we need to go ahead and transition up out of here, go from hour one to hour two. And hour number two, we're going to lead it off with David Cobb. We're going to get into a little bit more of this David Jones conversation, but we also have some college football, NBA to talk about with him as well. That's next.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, Keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.